of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had not marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Advent. Happy Advent. So I continue a sermon series looking at holy interruptions, specifically at when Jesus was born and the people whose lives he, yes, interrupted, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the wise men, and how he transformed their lives. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, I ask that these words speak your truth and your wisdom, that you use me to share the message about how Jesus is present in our lives, and that you know the reflections that we have in our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer. Amen. So now, this morning, we look at holy interruptions, how Jesus came and was an interruption, a blessed interruption, in the life of Joseph. If you remember, last Sunday we talked about Mary, and next Sunday we'll talk about the shepherds as we celebrate Christmas Day together. And when I look at these different people who were part of Jesus' life, I want to kind of put myself in the shoes. And last week it was easier because Mary was, you know, a young woman who was betrothed and engaged and married and was wanting to start a family. This week was a little bit more difficult for me as a woman to get into Joseph's shoes. So when Phil came home right away, I was asking him a lot of questions, like guy questions, what do you guys like, what do you guys do? And I thought it'd be great that we had our Advent candle lit by four young adult males at our church. I must admit that when I emailed the young adult males to light the Advent candle, Vince, and he's not here so I could say this, he said, "I'll do it, but I'm not young adult anymore, you know." But it was great that our church is full of young adult males, and this morning we talk about Joseph, who was a young adult male as well, starting his life out. We will know many things about Joseph and all the prophecies that talk about the Messiah as the Messiah was to be born, and how Joseph played a part in even the prophecies, and he was part of this wonderful history that came alive on that Christmas day. We know that the prophecies talked that the baby Jesus would be born of a virgin birth. We hear in the words Isaiah 7:14 that says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin woman is with child, and she shall bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel." We have prophecies that say that the Messiah's birth will take place in Bethlehem. From Micah 5, verses 2 to 5, I love this passage that says, "But you, you, O Bethlehem, who are the one of the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to rule Israel, who is origined from old, ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth, and the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock on the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of his name, of the Lord his God, and all shall live secure, for he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace." What a wonderful passage that tells of the Messiah, and it starts off with saying, "But you, O Bethlehem," naming the place of where the Messiah would be born, this prophet from Micah. We also know that there are prophecies that say that the Messiah will come from the great lineage, from the king of David, from the rulers of Judah, from the descendants of Jesse. We know that the prophet Jeremiah says in chapter 23, verses 5 to 6, that surely the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up from David's righteous branch, and a person shall reign as king and deal wisely, shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And in this name by which he will be called is the Lord is our righteousness. So you know, in the Nativity story, we have all these prophecies that are coming alive, a virgin birth happening in Bethlehem, someone from the great lineage of the King of David. But then sometimes in the Nativity story, Joseph gets overlooked. If you look at the set here on our organ, you see this wonderful set, and we can recognize the shepherd, he's holding the sheep. We can recognize the king that are surrounding because of the presence they hold. And we also see the baby Jesus already in the Nativity set. But sometimes you wonder what happens to Joseph. Everyone knows the story of Mary and her and the great virgin birth and the angel that appeared to her. But an angel also appeared to Joseph as well. The first thing we must know about Joseph is that he was such an important part of the story because he, this lonely carpenter from Nazareth, was part of the great lineage of King David. Does everyone know where the great lineage, the historical family tree of Jesus is found? We see that in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 26. And we see in from 1 to 17, and we see in this names, tons of names listed. I actually invite you now, if you have a Bible in front of you, to open the Bible. And you see in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17, many, many names listed. Recently in the Sunday school, middle school class that I've been teaching, we looked at the different people of the Bible, and we talked about different women in the Bible specifically, and we looked at Ruth, and then we also looked at the reading of Matthew to see how Ruth was even part of that great lineage. And in Matthew 1 to 17, and this might be one of those Bible trivia quiz questions, how many generations are listed? How many names do we see? Does anyone know the answer off the top of their head? Are they great Bible trivia quiz persons? Okay, who thinks 14? Ah, see, that's the trick. So what the Bible does, and the author of Matthew, and he's a very smart person, he plays a little bit of a trick on us. He talks about 14 generations, which is a wonderful, easy thing to remember. And he talks about three sets of 14 generations. The set of David, the set of from Judah, the descendants of Jesse. But there is one set that actually only contains 13. So of these three sets of 14, the total generations that is mentioned is 41 generations. Because one set, it's not as simple as 14 times 3. It's 14 times plus 14 plus 13. So the total is 41 generations. I invite you now in this to look at this passage and just pick out one of the names. And in 10 seconds, I'm going to have you just shout that name out loud. Any name you pick. Okay? Let's test and see if this can be done. Everyone find a name? Okay, one, two, three, shout the name. Shout it again louder so I can hear. Okay, so a lot of people said different names. It was a little bit hard to hear. Gaius was great and loud and said Boaz, and I think I heard David in the back, and some other people picked some other names. But as you see, Joseph comes from this great lineage, starting all the way back to Abraham and coming all the way forward to Joseph. And so it is so important that Joseph, who God chose to be the human father, some say stepfather, some say human father, but was chosen by God to be the father for Jesus on earth. Joseph played this important role, but we know that his life was greatly, greatly interrupted. We know that Joseph lived in Nazareth and probably had a happy, simple life. They say Nazareth was probably like most towns of those times. They had many stone houses, also a synagogue somewhere in the center, and maybe located on the hillside with a marketplace for people to buy and sell goods. Nazareth, they say, was a place mostly with farmers, but also had some skilled craftsmen, a potter, probably a weaver, a dyer, a blacksmith, women who sewed, and also, yes, Nazareth had a carpenter. Joseph was the carpenter, and he was a younger man, well, they say in his prime, but someone who was ready to get married, and he had picked Mary, this young woman, to be his bride, and he was ready to marry her. But we understand that his plans were also interrupted. It didn't go as according to planned. We see in this morning's passage from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, that starts off with saying that the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, Mary found she was with child from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, he was a righteous man, but unwilling to expose her to the public disgrace. He was ready to dismiss her quietly. Joseph's life was interrupted. He'd been prepared to marry this woman. And then this happens, where he finds out the woman he is engaged to is pregnant, a virgin woman pregnant by the Holy Spirit. We know that Joseph does not want to expose her to public disgrace, and so he plans to do a kind gentleman thing for her and to dismiss her quietly. Now, this might sound like the right thing to do, and you kind of wonder, well, then he had nothing to lose. But still, in that society, and we know how villages talk, and we know how even our own church talks, things can happen and rumors can happen, and people look at people in different ways. They might have looked at Joseph and said, what happened? Was he the one who impregnated Mary? Is he now disgracing her? Is he now leaving her? Or is he being the good person and dismissing her quietly? But who would marry Joseph after that? If you were another young woman, would you then want to marry Joseph, hearing what happened to his first engaged fiance? But a messenger comes before Joseph, and we hear in verse 20 that says, when he, Joseph, had resolved to do this, to dismiss Mary quietly, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, remember that great lineage that Joseph had. The angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken to the Lord by the prophet. The virgin shall conceive a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This angel came and told Joseph this wonderful message about how he was to be with Mary, how their son was to be the Emmanuel, the gift from God. This angel was part of the holy interruption that came into Jesus' life. If you remember, I talked about when I first shared about holy interruptions, we have holy interruptions in our own lives. When God works in our lives, when God makes an action happen or puts someone in our lives that interrupts our lives, it shifts us to focus. We always worry about job, we worry about our home, we worry about family, we worry about doing the right things, and sometimes our worries become so great that we lose focus on God. And then God does this wonderful thing and interrupts us with a holy interruption that reminds us of the importance of focusing on God and putting faith first and knowing that through Jesus Christ we receive eternal life. So yes, God is interrupting Joseph's life with this birth of Jesus from the virgin woman he is to marry. But he's also sending an angel to bring this wonderful message to not be afraid, to be with Mary, to help fulfill what the prophets have said. And the angel starts off by saying, Joseph, son of David, reminding Joseph of his great ancestors and the history that came before him. In our own lives, when we are interrupted by God to stop the busyness of our lives, to reflect on what is happening, to draw closer to God, we must remember that sometimes God sends angels in our own midst to bring this message. Whether it's a friend who we know we can talk about with our faith, a family member who first introduced us to Christ and continues to walk with us on our faith journey, we hope the pastors and clergies and lay leaders of the church are helping you with that as well. We all want to be messengers of God to bring faith to other people. So then Joseph can do what is right, to know he can trust God and do as God commands him. And he does just that. So we know that when Joseph awakes from his sleep in verse 24, he does as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife, and they had no marital relations with her until she bore the son, and they named the son Jesus. We must follow in Joseph's footsteps to know that when God interrupts our lives, to listen to what God is saying to us, to accept God's command for us, to obey God as Joseph did, to be part of Christ and be transformed by Christ. So we know that when we talk about all who were part of Jesus' birth, of Mary, of Joseph, of the shepherds, of the wise men, they received Jesus as this wonderful and blessed holy interruption and let their lives be transformed. For Joseph, from the lineage of David to the son, the human father of Jesus on earth, he was faithful, he obeyed God's commandment, and his life was full of a holy interruption. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you come into our lives, and the way that you give us the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are so thankful. As we prepare this Advent season to celebrate next Christmas, the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, we remember how he transformed the lives of the people present then and transforms our lives today. We ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and you clear our minds so that we can focus on you, Lord, to know that you bring the gift of Jesus Christ as an interruption into our lives, but a gift that draws us closer to you. That we know through the gift of Jesus Christ and through his death on the cross, we receive forgiveness for our sins, the most wonderful gift that we will ever receive, not just on Christmas Day, but each day that we remain your faithful sons and daughters. In your Son's name, amen.